Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him, but John objected. I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you. But Jesus insisted, do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. And the moment that Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up, and he saw God's Spirit, and it was like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice saying, this is my child, chosen and marked by my love, the delight of my life. All right, look, everybody here this morning has been in this church long enough to know what are, as church, the theology of baptism that is taught by General Spirit, the Christian Church, right? Y'all know, right? You was baptized, amen. Okay. All right, so if you know what it is, do I need to preach? Can I just go sit down?
Yes.
Oh, you want to be inspired? All right, well, amen.
The rest of us, we're good to go.
Hallelujah.
No, yummy.
Well, she's feeling guilty because she didn't bring any donuts this morning. But anyway, listen, there was a Scottish minister, and he told his congregation about dreaming that he had died. And when he came to the pearly gates, to his dismay, he was denied entrance until he presented his credentials. Now, proudly, the pastor articulated the number of sermons preached and from the prominent pulpits that he had been occupying. But St. Peter said, no one had ever heard those sermons here. How discouraging would that be? I'm telling you. Then a discouraged servant enumerated his community involvement. He told of them all the meetings that he went to, all the different volunteer organizations he was part of, and Peter looked at him and said, we don't have a record of that. So now, the dude is a little upset. And he bows his head and he starts to walk away when Peter says, but wait a minute. Aren't you the fella who fed the sparrows? Master looked at Peter and said, why, yes, I am. And then Peter said, well, come on in. The master of the sparrows wants to thank you. Baptism is what that is. You see, folks, it's about the little things that we do. It's not the big grandiose things that we think that we have to do in life in order to be okay. Because, see, I called the title this morning is Affirmation, because everywhere they're preaching about baptism this morning, you know how that sermon's going to go, don't you? You absolutely know how it's going
to
go.
Come to Jesus moment.
Amen. You know, right here in this church, people that we love, at the end of their service, they will invite folks to come forward to what? Become a member of their church, and if they want to be baptized, they will baptize them right on the spot. It is all about what? We have been taught since we were as young as she is or younger that baptism is about getting your soul saved. Amen? I remember when I was doing some education, being educated on how to do a hospital chaplaincy, and I was over at Toledo Hospital, over in Toledo, Ohio. And we're in the emergency room, there's an accident, and they bring the family in, and unfortunately it was a tragic accident. There was a young baby about 6 months old that was part of that accident, and the baby died. Now, there were two things that I learned in that moment. One, doctors, for the most part, have no bedside manner. Amen? None. The doctor, the emergency room doctor, comes out to these two parents who are completely distraught. I mean, they're banged up, but they were concerned about their child. And the doctor comes out and looks at the mother and the father and says, your child has sustained injuries that are not compatible with life. I'm sorry. Turned around and walked away. And the mother looked at the chaplain, who I was standing there with, and said, so Johnny, Billy, whatever his name was, is going to be okay, okay? Right? I mean, so the next thing we have to do as chaplains at that point is kind of get to the point, no, your child is dead. At which point she falls apart and starts screaming hysterically that she needs her child baptized. Lutheran chaplain out of the Lutheran church said, and I quote, I am sorry, ma'am, we do not baptize the dead. At which point he turns to start to walk out of the area. I was like, I can't believe I just heard that. And so I walked over to the sink, grabbed a Dixie cup, filled it with water, prayed over it, and told the parents, come on. And we walked into the emergency room, or the treatment room where the baby was. They were just getting ready to cover the child up, and I said, wait, hang on a second, and we baptized the baby. Now, I want you to know, I almost got kicked out of CPE. What is it when a soldier doesn't do what they're supposed to do? Insubordinate. I was insubordinate. I was arrogant. Who did I think I was? Etc. Etc. And what my response to that was, it's what the mother believed. You could not condemn this mother going through the rest of her life not believing that her child was with God. I'm sorry. The reason that we do that with baptism is because the church has gotten off on the wrong foot with what baptism is all about to begin with. And so here's where I can get you excited about baptism and give you some inspiration. The bottom line is this. If you want to explain baptism in one word, it's affirmation. It absolutely is affirmation. Now let's think about this for a second. Remember that Jesus came to John, amen? Now you already know that I'm on the hot seat with several of my colleagues because, what? That I don't think the Gospel of John is a gospel, right? You know, you've heard me say that before. But I've also now put out my own new theory that John was probably a mentor for Jesus. You know, that whole trip out into the desert where Jesus spent 40 days? I don't think he was out there necessarily by himself. I think there would have been a mentor there, just like we teach people here, you know, to ask him those questions. You want to turn it into the devil? Okay. What do we call it when we do that to a person? We call it being the devil's advocate, right? When you ask those tough questions. But now, Jesus grew up. We don't have any record of what he did. Well, we do have some records, but the early church decided to leave that out of the scripture. So, you know, even if I wanted to tell you those stories, it takes an hour to frame them, and we don't have that kind of time. But just suffice it to say that in all likelihood, Jesus had to grow into being our Savior. Had to grow into being the Messiah. And why would I say that? Because you know, for folks in the church to think Jesus is God, this is just when I say that kind of stuff, they tell me that I can't be a pastor because I don't believe the right stuff. And I'm like, excuse me. The dude had to figure it out. He had to be aware of God. Never mind that they want to say fully God, fully human. Let's deal with the fully human. He had to learn. Do you not have to learn? Don't you have to learn? Amen? And are we not different when we learn something new? Jesus had to do the same thing. So number one, he's got a mentor. Number two, he understood what baptism meant because John had been preaching about it. John had been saying, come and get this garbage washed off of you. Repent. And what do we know repent means? Turn around. Change directions. Come back. And so in that statement, it was very clear that what was being preached was be in relationship with God. If you're not in relationship with God, come back to that. If you need a symbol that the world has been washed away, then get baptized. But it is about relationship. And the other interesting thing is, you know, Jesus then gets in front of John and says, baptize me. And John is like, oh, hell no. Dude, I'm the one that's been teaching you. I've been mentoring you. I know who you are. Have you heard that before from people in life when you're really good at something? Haven't you heard that? You know, you've got a talent, and the person that you're close to, they really know you. And then you ask them to do something that's kind of in your bailiwick, and they're like, no. That's your job. That's who you are. That's God, not me. And what did Jesus do? His statement to John is really important this morning, because he says to John, no, look, everything that's been worked for up to this point is coming to pass right now. Well, what could that be? What could that possibly be? Well, remember, Judaism, you had to sacrifice in order to get back with God. And there were 647 laws that you could break that would definitely keep you away from God. If you had so much as a blemish on your skin, you couldn't go into the temple. So what did Jesus mean? What Jesus meant was, look, I am going to publicly proclaim my relationship with God. And the moment he did that, listen to this, the moment he did that, there was a voice that exclaimed, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. Every time that people take the step of going back into relationship with God, do you not hear that voice from God saying, I am well pleased? Yes.
Well, I'm just wondering, isn't it also the fact that in order for him to be human, he had to do that?
Except I'm not speaking in half-twos. I get what you're saying. But see, this is never a have-to. We never have to do anything. And maybe that's good that you brought that up. It is all choice. It is all about relationship. We choose whether we want to be in relationship with God or not. Jesus.
So it's an example instead of a have to, it's an example.
Exactly. Exactly. Right on the money. He went back to John and said, look, I am making this public proclamation that I am committing my life to God, that I am going to be in relationship with God. So this whole thing about baptism is not about saving souls. It is about your public proclamation that you have a relationship with God. And it becomes the church's job when you want to publicly proclaim that to give you the symbols by which that you can do that. That's what this is about. And actually the most important thing about it is after that act is done, after you claim the relationship, is to hear that voice. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. That was not just for Jesus. That's for us. It is all about affirmation, folks. It is not. Church has found itself in the business of condemnation, and they have used baptism as part of that condemnation. I am here to tell you that the one and only job that the church has, the one and only job that we have towards each other, is affirmation. To express the same love that God has expressed to each of us. Jesus was about to step into service. You know, I'm going to close with this. And by the way, if the sermon goes too long today, according to your minutes, it's him. He stopped me. He threw me off base one minute. Listen to this. I dug this up as I was, I don't even know who to give it credit to, but it's part of the exegesis. As companions to one another, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and yes, as parents to others who are on the journey of faith, it does well, I think, to hear these familiar words once again and to consider what they might mean as far as our baptism is concerned for our affirmation of one another. If a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, they learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If a child lives with shame, they learn to be guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, they learn confidence. If a child lives with praise, they learn to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, they learn justice. If a child lives with security, they learn to have faith. If a child lives with approval, they learn to like themselves. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world. You want people to quit blowing people up? God loves you right here, right now. In God's family, in God's word, in God is holy and powerful spiritual presence, that God loves you and creates you for the environment in which all good things can come to pass. Don't let go of that, folks. It's up to you to do good. And we know that from James. If you see good and don't do it, what is that? Evil. Baptism, affirmation, is to turn to God and God's word. Turn each day to your brothers and sisters in faith. Turn to worship and prayer. To feel within a time of quiet, a time of sharing God's affirmation concerning you. And once you feel that affirmation, then you can step out into the world by affirming one another as God affirms you before being asked, before the other has done something good or bad, before they deserve or not deserve your favor or encouragement. Folks, it is about affirmation, not condemnation. God bless you.